Okay, so we're both saying we're on Daf. We're on Daf Dalet Omer Aleph. And we said that Rabbi Chiya Toras Hazomolo Parich, which means that Rabbi Chiya does not accept the Pircha against his Kal Vachomer of Malat Sarashova Shebehen, that in both Eid Echon and Hodos Piv, Einom Bitoris Hazoma, whereas Eidim is subject to Hazoma. Now, in the case of Piv, it's really true, and Rabbi Chiya can't deny it, that Piv has a certain power that no matter how much you makrish the pair, the Hodos Baldin, even with two Eidim or 1,000 Eidim, we still rely on the Hodos Baldin. But in the case of Eid Echad, here's where Rabbi Chiya is not impressed with this percha, because in the case of Eid Echad, if two Eidim testify against Eid Echad, Imadu Ayisem, then we believe the two pair Eidim and we completely nullify and void the Eidus of the Eid Echad. And therefore the Eid Echad is also included in Torah Hazama. The only difference is that as far as punishment is concerned, the Torah said that the Eid Echad doesn't have to pay Kasher Zomam. He doesn't have to pay the amount of money to the Nidon that he tried to be Mechayev him.
So who was Muzam?
But the Eid Echad, in terms of his Eidus itself, is completely Muzam, and we throw out his Eidus. So it's not fair to offer this Pirch and say, well, Eid Echad is more powerful and more impervious, you know, than to Eidim. The same way that you could invalidate two Eidim because of Hazama, you invalidate one Eid also because of Hazama. We believe the two Eidim against the Eid Echad. So the Eidus of the Eid Echad is completely batel mevutal.
Even if you can't even present the Shuba for the Eid Echad to support his testimony, because his Eidus is invalid. That's the point, isn't it?
In other words, once his Eidus is invalid, then in that sense, his Eidus is no different than the Eidus of two Eidim, which is subject to Hazama. It's not that the Eid Echad is impervious to Hazama. Reb Chiya says he is vulnerable to Hazama. And if there would be Hazama, we would completely null and void his Eidus. I have a Kasha because the Torah says Kasha Zoma only in the case of two Eidim and not in the case of Eid Echad, which means that Eid Echad, even after Zoma, he will not be punished, he will not pay Kasha Zoma. That has nothing to do with our discussion. Reb Chiya's Kal Vachomer is to try to prove that if Eid Echad is Mechayev Shvua, how much more so the two Eidim are Mechayev Shvua. And that's true because Eid Echad is subject to Zoma to the same extent that two Eidim are vulnerable to Hazam. As far as Bittul Eidus is concerned, there's no difference between Eid Echad and Shnei Eidim. There's no extra power or authority to the Eid Echad above and beyond Shnei Eidim. There's Hazam in both cases. You could have Hazam against two Eidim, you could have Hazam against one Eidim. And in both cases, we believe the second pair of Eidim, and we completely throw out the first pair of Eidim. You have a kasha that the Torah says the kasha zoma is a punishment only applies to two Eidim that testify, but not to one Eid. That's halacha in dinei onshim, in dinei kasha zoma. But as far as hazoma itself is concerned, what Rabbi Chiya calls Torah hazoma, the Eid Echad is no less included in Torah hazoma than two Eidim.
I see, interesting. Okay.
But the Gemara says even though lo kasha Rabbi Chiya Torah hazoma lo parech. However, even if there's no pircha on the Kal Vachomer of Rabbi Chiya, the Gemara points out that we have a kasha on the raya of Rabbi Chiya. Because Rabbi Chiya, if you remember, invoked a raya that's called Tana Tuna from our Mishnah of Shnayim Osim Vitalis. Meaning that in the case of Shnayim Osim Vitalis, one person is claiming that that he owns the entire talis, and we have two Eidim against him because his tzad shekenegdo, his adversary, has a tfisa which sets up an ansadi. So the two Eidim against part of his tfiyah, and he has to take a shua on the other half of his tfiyah. That is a raya to Rabbi Chiya's principle of ad ha'odas Eidim. Because again, the tfisa is parallel to an ansadi to two Eidim. So there are two Eidim testifying against his claim that he really owes half the talis, so to speak, to the other Baldin. And therefore he has to take a shvuah on the half that he claims he owns. The other half, you have Edom against him, so he has to fork over the other, you know, that half of the talis. But on the half of the talis that we grant him and reward him, that's only because he took a shvuah to that effect. So you see that when there are two Edom testifying against half the claim of a person, he has to take a shvuah on the other half. So the Gemara says, no, that's no raya. Mi dami, the Gemara says. So let's see where we're up to actually in the Gemara. We're up to the words mi dami. And let's see if we can find this on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. We're approximately, I would say, more than halfway down. Let me just see if there's a Siman Ledover that would make it a little easier to find the place. You see this Tosus Dibra Maskil, yeah, in between the two Tosus in Rav Sheshes and Vitana Tuna. So you should find the Gemara that says Mi Dami. I'll read it to you and you'll follow it along as we read it. The Gemara says, Mi Dami, Hasam, there in the case of Reb Chiya, when Edom testify on half the claim, and the Nitbar is Kofar on the entire claim, La Malve Isle Sahadi, Vila Love Lesle Sahadi. So in Reb Chiya's frame of reference, the Toveh, I will call him the Malve, he brings Edom. The Love has no Edom. So therefore, it makes sense that the Lova would have to take a shvuah on the other half of the claim, because virtually he's modem mixas on half of the claim because of the Edom that testify in half of the claim. And the Gemara embellishes this. The Gemara says, "De'i havalu sadi l'lova." Certainly, you would agree that if the Lova would deduce two Edom that would testify on the half that he is claiming, then lo boy Rabbi Chiya lashtabuye. Rabbi Chiya would agree; he would not have any question about the fact that there's no need for shvuah when you have two edim supporting your claim. So, with the two edim on half the claim, that goes to the malva. The other two, the other half of the claim, the lova brings two edim to support his claim on half of the tviya. There's no shvuah. And that makes a lot of sense. And hacha, if we look at our Mishnah, ki hechi di anan sadi bahai. There's no way that Rabbi Chiya could justify the shvuah in our Mishnah based on his principles, because each one has two edim to support his claim. So there's no mammon which is up in the air without any evidence of two edim. All the mammon is accounted for. One half of the talis is accounted for by the tfis of Reuven, and that is edus on that half of the talis on behalf of Reuven. And the other half of the talis, which is biyad Shimon, by virtue of his tfisa, he has two edim to testify in his half of the talis. So there's nothing that falls in between. And in that case, Reb Chiya would have to admit that there's no shvuah, because although one Toveh has Edim to support his claim on half, the other Toveh, the Nitbah, let's call him the Nitbah, he has two Edim to support his claim on the other half. Vafilu hachi mishtabdi, and nevertheless there is a shvuah. So here we have to introduce the principle of Rabbi Yochanan from the beginning of this sugya. You remember that Rabbi Yochanan insisted that the shvuah in our Mishnah is not a doraisa, it's not a modem b'miktas, but rather it's a takonas chachamim. Shelo yei kol echad v'echad holech v'tokev taliso shel chavero. So it means that Rabbi Chiya could not prove anything, says the Gemara, from the shvuah in our Mishnah, because there's no way that the shvuah in our Mishnah could be a shvuah's modem b'miktas. Because again, each one has an anan sadi, has two edim to support his claim on his half. Ella, what it must be that the shvuah in our Mishnah is only a derabbanan; it's a takonas chachamim, and hence we don't understand Rabbi Chiya when he says tana tuna. and he wants to bring a raya from a shvur the rabbanon. How can you bring a raya from a shvur which is takonis chachamim to establish a shvur d'oraisa? That makes no sense. The shvur d'oraisa, you want to say that Edom set up a modu b'mitzah situation? Mehechetesi, you can't prove it from Amish. Now Amish is talking about a takonis chachamim. So now the Gemara reinterprets Vitana Tuna. And the Vitana Tuna in which Rabbi Chia invokes a raya from Amish is not referring to the statement of Rabbi Chia about Edom, where Edom testified half the claim, but rather Vitana Tuna A'idach de Rabbi Chia Itmar. There was another statement of Rabbi Chia, which has to do with what we call Halach. That was the first, that was the last thing that we discussed on Yom Chamishi, Halach. And let's just say a few words of introduction about Halach. Halach means that not only was I moda b'miktsas on half the taina, but I virtually gave it to you. When I say virtually, I didn't literally give it to you. But I said, you know, wherever it is, it's yours. Like, for example, in a case of pikadon, if you claim that you gave me two sheep, and I say I only got one sheep, then the very moment I admit that this one sheep is yours, I'm just a custodian and you deposited that sheep in my possession, but it's yours, then you don't have to make a kinyan on that sheep. It's yours, it was always yours. The Yad Shomer is Kiyad Balabayis. So even though it's physically located in the Rishus of the Nitbav, let's call him the Shomer, but nevertheless Al-Pidin is considered to be in the Rishus of the Mafkid. And that's called Halach. Halach means it's as if he gave it back to him. And the significance of giving it back to him is that there's no longer a claim on that half. That's history, because he already returned it to him. So at best he can claim the other 50, right, the other sheep, but he can't claim one sheep because that sheep is his wherever it is on the face of the globe.
So that avoids the moda b'miktsas.
Exactly. It becomes a kofar kol instead of a moda b'miktsas. That's what you would have said if not for Rabbi Chia. Now it could be Rabbi Chia would agree in the case of Shomrim that that's a halach that knocks off the Shvuah. Why? Because the Mafkid doesn't have to make a kinyan, as we said before, Kol Hecha, wherever the object is, it's in the Rishus of the Mafkid. But Rabbi Chia extended that. I'm sorry, let me cross that out. Rabbi Chia refused to extend that to the case of Halach in the Tviya of Halvah. The Amar Rabbi Chia, Mana li biyadcha, you owe me a mana. This is not a case of Shomrim. This is not a case of a Be'en, but rather a case of a Chov. You owe me a Chov. Let's say you lent, you borrowed from me 100. V'Allah, and the defendant claims, Ein l'cha biyadi ela chamishim zuz ve'helach. I only owe you 50, the loan was on 50, the halach. Now Rashi has a problem here, and this is what we spent a lot of time on last week. Rashi tries to understand, what is this word the halach? What is its significance? What do you mean the halach? And here it is. The lova is still holding on to that chamishim zuz. How could that magically be, in the case of Shomrim, so there we have a principle that wherever the pikadon is, it's in the rishus of the mafkid. But in the case of Alva, he has an abstract chov, a shibud, to pay a certain amount of money. So what good is it when he adds, oh yeah, I admit on 50 and vehelach, here, take it, it's yours.
And that's because hava al lahotza nitna, as opposed to pikadon.
Oh, so wait a minute. If milvah's lotza nitna, correct?
Yeah.
Then how can there be halach? What do you mean? Milvah lotza nitna is halach. Meaning, what I mean to say is the following. The Gemara is going to vacillate back and forth. It's going to be at the end of the day, machlok shin Rabbi Chia and Rav Sheshes about halach. But again, we have to understand the mechanics of halach before we understand whether it is modu b'miktas, whether it's not modu b'miktas. What is the significance of halach? It's got to be like the paradigm case of Shomrim, where when I admit and I confess in Bezdin that one sheep that you claim is yours, and I point to it, here's the sheep that's yours, that's Heilach, because then there's a transfer of ownership over that sheep, no matter where that sheep is, even though it's sitting on the, you know, in the corral of the shomer, but nevertheless it's considered al pidin to be in the rishus of the mafkid. So the mafkid has full fledged ownership. But in the case of Milvelot Sodna, how are we going to even entertain the possibility that Heilach works, it operates in some way in which he gave him back the mos? He didn't give him back the mos. He just says to the Heilach, you can take it. So here's where Rashi, I think, throws a whole nother light on this sugya. Rashi says, Veheilach, lo hotze sim, veheim shalcha b'vchol makom sheheim. Were you with us on Thursday? I don't remember which days. No. So we spent a lot of time on this Rashi, and our thesis was that according to Rashi, milvelot sanitna only begins when he uses the money. This is a pretty radical chiddush of Rashi, but we claim that there's a sugya kedushin to support Rashi. Rashi didn't invent it, you know, bodily lo bodily libo. And what is the essence here? That if you have a bag of coins, let's say there's a bag of gold coins. So Reuven lends his bag of gold coins to Shimon. He says, go spend these coins. Invest it in the market. Make a profit on it. That's the mitzvah alva. Shimon did beintayim. In the meantime, he hasn't touched this bag of coins.
So it's like a pikadon.
Exactly. Beautiful. It's like a pikadon. Yeah. And therefore Rashi adds the words, Hein shalchav b'chol makum shehem. Meaning, I don't have to give you a kinyan. You don't have to come into my living room and pick up the bag. It was always your bag. I never touched it. I never used it. At best you can call it a pikadon, but it's certainly not milvelot sadin. And here's where Rav Chiya says, Afal pichen, I'm going to apply the principle of milvelot sadinna. And even though there's a halach situation here where he points to the bag of coins and he says, here's your bag, nevertheless, since it was given as a milveh, says Rav Chiya, it remains a milveh, it remains an abstract chov, even before he uses the mos, even though lo hotzi sim, this is not a new bag of coins to replace the old coins that I borrowed from you, which I long invested. No, it's the same bag of coins, and yet from desveg, according to Rav Chiya, that's considered a modem mixas situation. He's still within the modem mixas. He hasn't wiped off the chov yet. And what that means is that the malva still has to gain ownership over these mos. So that we're not going to wait until until the lover uses the mos and spends them in order for the lover to acquire ownership over these coins, and then the malva will have to make a kinyan on the replacement coins. No. Even the original coins, since they were given for the purpose of milva, and the lover accepts them in order to use those mos, invest them and buy whatever he does with it, that already triggers off the milvelot sadin, no? And therefore the chov is already activated. Once the chov is activated, then what happens is the lover makes a kinyan on the mos. He now has an abstract chov to replace those mos with other mos, and those mos, or even the original mos for that matter, are still in the rishus of the lova until the malva collects them. Mm-hmm. So when the lova says to the malva, Heilach, come in and take them, here they're yours, until the malva actually does so, he doesn't acquire ownership. There's no possession on the part of the malva. And therefore, says Rav Chiya, my timer, why does he have to take a shvua? Sheheilach nami kimodu mixas atayin and domi. Meaning that even after the Heilach declaration, nevertheless it still remains a chov, it still remains alva, on which he was modev and mixas, and therefore he has to take a shvua on the other half. It's not like a case where he returned it, he hasn't yet returned it. So let's read Rashi inside. Chayev li shov al ashar. the law arena, we're not going to say Hani de Modi le begavayu, this bag of Mo's, which he's Moda that even though it's physically in my possession, it's yours. Hoel ve isnu beinayu. The inayu means he never spent it. Is commanded nakit luhu domina. You have to be careful here. The word nakit is referring to the malva here, not to the lova. Right. It's commanded nakit luhu, meaning the lova already returned it to the malva.
And he received it.
He received it, and it's his. B'chol b'akum sheim. No. Ela kishar moda mikta. So it remains a chol, despite his declaration of halach, and despite the fact that he never even touched these mos. The bag is the original bag of mos. This whole idea of he changed it. No, go.
Says Nirbe Nayib al Haran, Fulekal Zavakatav, the Ha Novala Hotzanitna Dafka Lehotzanitna, the Dafka Bekikadum Hadin Kane. In other words, Halach only applies in Pikadum, doesn't apply in Nova, according to the Ran.
But I'm not sure why that's against Rashi. Let me just think about that. I thought that's exactly the point of Avol Ran Cholek Al Zeh. That's what bothers me. That those words Cholek Al Zeh. Because I'm Tohad the Milvul of Tzon Nedafka Bipikadon Hadin Ki. I'm not sure what he means. I'd have to, I give you Yashukur for pointing this out, because this requires a lot more thought. Now here's where the Gemara says that the Vatana Tuna comes under fire. Let's see what the Tana Vatuna is. In other words, Rav Chiya is going to say that even in our Mishnah, because there's a chazaka of Kol Mashal Tachas Yodam Shalohu, therefore in Shnayim Oksim Vitalis, that's also a case of Halach. And yet there's a Shrua. Why is Shnayim Oksim Vitalis a Halach? Because I don't have to return that half a Talis that you're claiming to you. For yours, you have it already, so it's halach. It's mamish in your back pocket. You don't have to make a kinyan on it. It's if there are two edim that testify that this is yours, this half a talis. And then on the other half of the talis, the other baldin is a kofar bakol, and the eidim already testifying on against him on half the claim by virtue of the anan sad, and therefore it's as if each one of these two baldinim say to the other baldin halach with regard to the half of the other baldin, that the half of the talis that the other baldin is holding on to. Ukitani, and yet, despite it all, despite the Hela, it says in the Mishnah, Yishava. And the assumption is that Shvua is a Shvua that's Moda V'mikza, it's a Shvua Doraisa. Now again, the Gemara is going to point out later on that L'chora, it's not a Shvua Doraisa, but let's leave that for the two lines down the line.
How could you say that the other half is basically halach when the shavua itself is worded lo pachot mi? So there's certainly an opening for his claim that all of it is mine. That's the opposite.
So Yossi, that your point is an excellent question. Back in the Mishnah, so to speak, even before we get to this sugya, let me phrase your question in the Mishnah, just in terms of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that he has to take a shavua that ein libo pachos michetzia. What's going on here? What do you mean ein libo pachos michetzia? We've already testified through the Aran Sadi of Tfisa that the other half belongs to the other guy, to call him Reuven. So what is Shimon saying? Well, you know what? I'm gonna take a shvua that I only have half, implying that I really have more. So that has to do with another sugya, which we touched upon about Benanas, if you remember, that Beis Din cannot impose a shvua that would definitely approve, or that would, let's say, no matter how you slice the cake, there would definitely be a shvua shav.
Echim ba'im v'dei shvua shav.
Correct.
Yeah.
Now, based on that principle, what we're saying here is that he can't take a shvua on more than half. But now you're coming and asking a gevaldik kasha. What do you mean you can't take a shmur on the other hand? There are edim on the other hand. So even regardless of the sugi of chiyah, we're going to have to come to grips with that question. Meaning, if the Gemara is to be taken literally, and Tosfos already at the beginning of the Masechta quoted this sugya, that the Anan Sadi is generated on both, on behalf of both Pali Dinim, on half the Talis that they're holding on to, so what is this business that, oh, we're not going to let him take a Shmua on the entire Talis, because that would involve bringing creating into this world a Shmua Shav. Forget about Shmua Shav. We have Edom on the other half. There wasn't even a Havamina that he could say, well, I have more than half the talus. Mm-hmm. So what was the Eli Ba Pachas Mi Chetzi, as if to imply, I might have a lot more than just Chetzi. And at that point, we're going to have to go back to the Rabbi Chanan that we spoke about when we first started this Limud here in Shtayim Ochsen. Because, you know, Rabbi Chanan, if you remember, was wondering exactly how to navigate through this Anan Sadi. Is it really so that there's an Anan Sadi in the sense of a raya that each one has half? Or is it perhaps a separate din in Tfisa, he wanted to suggest, that Beis Din can't get involved in taking money out of someone's possession if there's no raya to that effect, if they don't have any evidence? Then the chalukah here is based on the fact that each one has a tfisa. And when the Gemara says the tfisa itself proves that he owns it, Rabbi Chanan says that's not really true. It's not that there's an absolute proof on each one and half. The Gemara only says the ikal amemer the chavayu havi, right? That it's possible that they picked it up at the same time and simultaneously each one was kona half the talus of hefker. We don't really know that that's the case, and probably statistically it's not very likely that exactly happened. There must have been some push and shove over here. That's why, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we instituted the Shmua here, Shelo Yeyodam Tokev. But the Anan Sadi sets up a kind of not Holchachas Tfisa, but rather some sort of a Din Tfisa. But in terms of the claim, despite the din tfisa, you could still honor and validate a claim on more than half the talis. And therefore, in terms of the shvua, there's no reason why each one of the bali dinim, if I take them individually, would have to give up on his claim on the entire talis. He's saying the guy grabbed it out of my hands. There's another technical reason why we won't allow him to take the shvu on the entire talis. But if not for that technical reason, he would really take a shvu to support his claim. That guy's an outright thief. Mm-hmm. He just grabbed the talis out of my hand. Rav Sheshes Omar, Halach Potter. Rav Sheshes says, no, when a person says to his friend who's claiming that he borrowed 1,000, he says, Halach on 500 is my time. He came into the overlay, Halach Hani Zuzi de Komodi Begavayu Kimandin Noket Lu Malvin Nomin. Once he says the word Halach on these mos, and again, keep in mind that according to Rashi, it's Lo Hotse Sim. I never even use these mos, but take them, they're yours. Here's your bag of gold coins. Is at that point we say it's command to knock it luhu malvin. The malvin no longer has to make a kinyan and translate or cross the boundaries between milvulotzon into an actual kinyan from a chov in the abstract to a physical ownership over the mos. Command to knock it luhu malvin. That's the claim of Rav Sheshes. Then again, if the lov is right, that he never even used these mos, then the malva, this is pre-milva lotzon, and the malva owns the mos wherever they are. Kimando nakin lu malva domi. Now, what about be'ina chamishim? Right, he denies the other 50. Holo modi. Hilkoch leko do b'miktsa sataina. The whole claim really now boils down to the other half of the halva. On the first half of the halva is nakit le malvin dami. So the money was virtually returned to the malvin on half the loan. The rest, the balance, is already a kofra kol situation where the nidon, or I should call the nitva, insofar as chatzi milv is concerned, he's a complete kofra kol. And therefore, there's no shvua of modu v'mitzas. That's the shita of Rav Sheshes. Now, if I understand Rashi correctly, as we said before, the machlokas between Rav Chi and Rav Sheshes really boils down to the law of milv lotzandit. At what point do we say milv lotzandit? No? And therefore, the lova, even if he says heilach, he has to return the money into the pocketbook of the malveh. Or do we say no? That there is no milvalot sadin, that until the lover takes advantage of his rights to use the mos, and as long as the original mos is still sitting there on the table, then halach means it's yours wherever you are. Which is really interesting, because that means that that hodas baldin can in some rare cases constitute a kinyan, as if he was makna through his odas baldin, like in the case of milva. Once he's moda on the mos, if the mos haven't yet been spent, and these are your mos, come and get them, then already the malva has kinyanin. I'll give you an extreme case. Let's take the case of a ganav. If a ganav steals something, then he does tshuva, and he says to the nignav, he says, this is yours, come and take it. We're extrapolating, so that would be haluch, and that tefiyah is over and done with because it's commanded mockingly the dummy. When we get to the case of milva, that's more complicated of an extension. And when the lover says, "Here's your mos, I never took them," it's almost as if he stole those mos, so to speak. I don't mean that literally. Come and take them. That's already haluch. Comes along Rav Sheshes. And he says that if it's halach, then there's no mode of a mikzah. Because if halach is command of nakit le mos tomi, then there's only a claim on the balance. As far as that half, it's gone already. It's in the kinyan, the malvah's made a kinyan on it. So there's no dinu dvarim on the half that he was. That he was halach on, that he said halach on. As Bebele says, Rav Sheshes is no mode of mikzah. In fact, the Gemara, Ula Rav Sheshes kashim asnisin, what's Rav Sheshes going to do with that Mishnah? That Mishnah says that there is a shmua of mode of mikzah. And that would prove Rabbi Chia against Rav Sheshes. Amalacha Rav Sheshes, name, you misunderstood. The Shvu of that Mishnah. Shvu of Mishnah is not a Shvu spoke to the Mikzas with a Doraisa Dika Shvu, but Masnisen Takonis Chachomim. It's only Takonis Chachomim. The Shvu in that Mishnah, like Rabbi Yochanan earlier, is in order to avoid people from stealing things from their friends, meaning that there shouldn't be a Holech. Vitoke fitaliso shel chaver. But this Mishnah would not be a riot to Rav Sheshes. I'm sorry, this Mishnah would not be a riot against Rav Sheshes, I meant to say. Why? Because our Mishnah is instituting a new Shvua, which does not fit into the pattern of Chiyuve Shvua, because again, it's a halach situation. And Shelo Yetokev. That's the reason for the shvua, and it's all the rabbanon. And clearly, on a deraisa level, there would be no shvua. Of idach, what is Reb Chia going to say? We already proved before that Reb Chia was moda that this shvua and that mishnah is only the rabbanon. Now, if this mishnah is presenting a shvua the rabbanon and it's not moda b'miktas, then how can he prove anything from our Mishnah with regard to Halach? Halach is clearly a case of Odu Mikzas. So let's just summarize the point that we're up to. Reb Chiya denies Halach, meaning he holds that even in Halach the Chiyuv Shvut Daraisa of other mitzvahs is retained. And the odd thing about Reb Chiya is that he quotes Av Mishnah as a raya. How could Av Mishnah be a raya when each one has Eidus? Because Shnai Holtz Vitalis means each one has Eidus. So the only way of justifying the Shmu and Av Mishnah is with the Takanas Chachamim, Lo Yei Tokev. So what did Reb Chiya mean when he invoked this Mishnah as a raya to Shita regarding Halach? Our Mishnah is not relevant to the discussion of Reb Chiya, because it's only a Takanas Chachamim. Says the Gemara, you're absolutely right that Reb Chiya is moda that our Shmu and our Mishnah is only Takanas Chachamim. Umiru, however, Iyamrit Bishleim Midoraisa Helechayev is Mesakni Rabban and Shmu Kaim Doraisa. Iyamrit Midoraisa Helech is Potur. Is Metakde Rabban and Shvua de Lesa de Kavase Bida Oraisa? If we're going to hold that on a Doraisa level, Halach is Potter, this is Rav Chiya's Kasha on Rav Sheshes, then how could the Rabbanon set up a Shvua which in no way is patterned after the Shvua Doraisa? And this, I believe, is a principle called a tikkun rabbanon kein doraisa tikkun. So, if midoraisa there is such a thing as a chiyuv shvuah in the case of halach, then the rabbanon could extend that and apply it in the way they want to apply it, meaning they're just patterning themselves after the doraisa. But says Rav Chiya, if according to Rav Sheshes you accept that there's no shvuah in the case of halach, then how could the Rabbanan institute a Shvu in our Mishnah? Our Mishnah is a classic case of Halach. So I'll read to you the note over here in the Misifta. He says the following: Iyamit Bishlei Midoraisa Halachayev is Misakni Rabbanan Shvua Ke'em Do'oraisa. This is the famous principle of Ke'em Do'oraisa. Kol D'Ratika Rabbanan Ke'em Do'oraisa Tika. Vavidumya de Shvua Satora Kloma. Omnam Shvua Samishna Eino Shvua Satora. I agree with you, says Rav Chiya. Modal Emes. This is not a Shvua Doraisa of Modu Mimiktsas. Even though there are eight in the testify in here. Kevin Shiesha Nan Sadi Gamla Zeva Gamla Zeh. Although each one has an Anan Sadi based on his Tfisa in the case of Shnai Moksim. But they both have an anansadi. Each one has an anansadi. So on a doraisa level, it's impossible to justify the shvua. So the shvua has to be a takonas shvua, which we spoke about in Rabbi Yochanan's favorite shalom yehi kol adam tokev holech v'tokev shel chaviro. But it's got to be Ke'en Shvuas HaTorah. When the Rabbanan instituted this Shvua, they had in mind that it was patterned after some sort of Shvua that is recognized by the Torah. And Kidei Shelo Yehei Kol Echad Tokev Holech V'Tokev Es Chavero. Therefore they were Masakin Shvua Ke'en Shvuas HaTorah, and we see in this case as if it was a Modu Mimiktas. Is it a mode of miktas? Truthfully, it is not a mode of miktas, because each one brings Adam to testify on his half. But we're going to look at it as if it were a mode of miktas. Why? Because there are Adam on the other half. That's Reb Chiya's PhD thesis here in this suit. The Adam make it as if, I'm sorry, the Tfisa makes it as if there are Adam on the other half of the time. And therefore, in the case of Kofra Kol with Adam, you'll tell me it's Halach. The answer is that even on a Doraisa level, Halach is not what you think it is, meaning it doesn't achieve a cutting down or whittling down the Tviya of the Tovea. And there's going to be a Shvua Doraisa in the case of Halach. Oh, if there's a shvuah d'oraisa in the case of Heilach, then the Rabbanan could extend the d'oraisa and apply it to the case that's similar to Heilach, and that's Shnai Moksa Metalis. If you're going to maintain that Heilach is potur like Rav Sheshes, is Mesakne Rabbanan Shvuah d'leisa kavase b'doraisa? Is there such a thing as the Rabbanan creating a Shvuah Yesh Me'ayin? You know, it doesn't have any framework. It's not in any way similar to what? To a Shvuah d'oraisa. There's nothing even parallel in the d'oraisa laws. And then we're going to impose a Shvuah. That we don't do. There's always got to be a kol d'tikun Rabbanan ke'ein d'oraisa tikun. Now, logically, you could have said that maybe Shvuah is different, because Shvuah is halacha of tzedek tzedek tirdo, and the Rabbanan are trying to clarify the suffix. So therefore, the Rabbanan could institute a whole new enactment, a whole new chefzah shel Shvuah. But the Gemara says, no, that's not so. The Rabbanan do not enact a whole new chefzah shel Shvuah. It's got to be kein d'oraisa. They have to pattern themselves after the Torah. And there's only one possible d'oraisa which could possibly apply here, and that's going to be modu v'mitzvah sataina. So how do you see in the case of modu v'mitzvah, in the case of shnai moksa v'talis, a similarity to the case of modu v'mitzvah? And the answer is because the Anan Sadi sets up a hodah on that part of the talis on which there is an Anan Sadi. On the other part of the talis, he's a kofar, so therefore he's a modem mixas with a kfir of a mixas, and he has to take a shvur. But we can't assume that that's a shvur d'oraisa. That's impossible, because there are eight on behalf of each one's clan. So Rav Chiya says, okay, it's not exactly a modem mixas case, but it's similar enough to a modem mixas case that the Rabbanan can hang their hat on this peg and say we're instituting azah shvuah, which would be a shvuah d'oraisa modem mixas, and the Torah would recognize it if not for the fact that there's a double anan sadi. But according to you, Rav Sheshes, we have an issue here. Why? Because Shnai Moksa Metalis is Heilach. And if Shnai Moksa Metalis is Heilach, according to Rav Sheshes, even on a d'oraisa level, in the case of Heilach, you are potter from a shvuah. Why are you potter from a shvuah? Because Heilach means keman the nakitom. You know, here it's yours. And therefore there's no longer a claim on that half, and there's only a claim on the other half, which is modu mixas, hence he's potter shvuah. How can you, Rav Sheshes, justify the Shvuah in our Mishnah of Shnai Moksa? Here's a case of Heilach, because the Anan Sadi sets it up as if he's holding on to half, which is rightfully his. So here's the Heilach. And yet there's a Shvuah. So we're going to tell you, well, it's a Shvuah d'Rabbanan. Yeah, but we have a principle called the Tikkun Rabbanan, Kein d'Oraisa Tikkun. Therefore, your Shvuah has to be patterned after the Shvuah shel Torah. And it must be that Heilach is still chayav a shvuah shel Torah, because otherwise you have no case, you know, that would justify this comparison. Now this whole sugya called kol d'tikun Rabbanan ke'ein d'oraisa tikun is a baffling sugya, because you do find many cases in which the Rabbanan changed the rules of the game, and you don't exactly extend the d'oraisa ke'ein d'tikun d'oraisa. So, for example, in our chul learning, we have bos mechalav in the case of oaf, and there are more paskins that you're not chayef for bishul, and there's no isra hanah, there's only an isra achila. I mean, you see, it's not really kein d'oraisa tikkun. If it was kein d'oraisa tikkun, then we would take all the din of a bos behema mechalav and apply it to bos oaf mechalav. So, for every rule, there's at least one exception, and in this case, I think there are many exceptions. When do we not apply the principle of Kein d'oraisa tikkun? And perhaps the answer lies in every sugya unto itself. You know, in every sugya where there's no Kein d'oraisa tikkun, you have to know why. So, for example, Chalas Chutz La'aretz. Chalas Chutz La'aretz is not Kein d'oraisa tikkun. It has a whole new set of rules and regulations that don't apply to true d'oraisa. But basically, the rule of thumb is that in certain cases, the Rabbanon will extend the Torah law, and in other cases, they'll create something brand new. So, for example, the Gemara at the beginning of Beitzah says that Muktzah and Nolad is something brand new. It's not that the Rabbanon are extending some sort of a d'oraisa law. And in the case of Muktzah, therefore, it's not Ke'en d'oraisa tikkun, because there is no Ke'en d'oraisa. Maybe Rav Sheshes would hold the case of Shruah, since we're dealing with a situation in which Halach removes the Shruah on a d'oraisa level. The Rabbanon said that, you know, we're suspending the operation of Halach. And to that extent, maybe it's Ke'en d'oraisa, because if not for the Halach, he would be Chayav a Shruah's father. That I don't know.